preach the gospel to the poor. And truly, he did that. He healed the lame and all the sickness there. And that's the ministry that God's given my wife and I also, is to preach the gospel to the poor. Psychologist, there's a lot of psychology and psychiatry out there. And all of that is good, but I tell you what, that will not replace the need for the gospel in the life of a person. The Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I mean, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching, that's what changes lives, is when a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ and then begins to serve him there, his life is turned around. And literally, as Jesus said here, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. I really believe that's the ministry, like I said, God gave my wife and I. But you know what? I take it a step farther also. I believe that's the ministry to preach the gospel to the poor. I believe that's the ministry God's given every single born-again believer, is to preach the gospel to the poor. You might say, not me, preacher. I could never get behind the pulpit and preach. I didn't say that. But I mean just share the gospel. Sharing the gospel wherever we go. Jesus said, and Jesus also said elsewhere, he said, and the works I've done, ye shall do also. And we see here the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope we'll kind of analyze the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in just these few minutes that we have left there. And then, how does that apply to us? How does God want to use us? And like I mentioned a while ago, I'm preaching in a different church just about every Sunday. I'm in a different church presenting the problems of addiction and how they can get help through the Lord Jesus Christ there. So I'm preaching, but I'm finding out as I'm preaching just about every Sunday, I'm finding out that among God's people, we all, just about all, have addicted people in our family. And we don't have to go no farther in most families than the cousins and the nephews and nieces. And we all got them. Most of the time, it's in our immediate family. Our sons and our daughters or our grandparents or our father and mother. We have those in our family that we need to help. And so, but how do we help them? How do we help them? And the help is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sharing that with them and seeing that revolutionize take place. And how many of you men were addicted before you came to the Lord? Just I see your hands, you were addicted. That's primarily my ministry. Primarily my ministry is to reach out. And God can do it for your love. We want you to know that our doors are open. Our doors are open. That's why we are. But our cost is very expensive, though. Men, how much do we charge you to come to the rescue mission? Nothing. What? You get three meals a day and a bed at night and nothing? Not until the second 6 months, or not until they get a job. Now, when they get a job after 6 months and begin to work out, then, yes, they do begin to pay a little bit to the program. And so, but we're thankful for God, how he's raised up the funds and to make that possible. And so Jesus said here in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And I can understand the poor person. I thank God I'm not poor today. I'm not rich, but I thank God I'm not poor today. I thank God that if I wanted to go out to a restaurant, I could. And I could get those things if I wanted to there. The Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Mother, dad, uncle, aunt. That's what's going to change your loved one's life there, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And literally, sharing the gospel is not that hard. Jesus says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mean, it is simple. It is simple. Recognizing that he is Lord. He's Lord. He's God. He's Savior. He died for us. And it's calling upon him. But not only that, look what it says, not to be saved. But then he said, not only to preach the gospel to the poor, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You look into an addicted family and you will see broken hearts. Broken hearts all over the place. I mean, disappointed moms and dads. They never intended for their child to turn out that way. I can't tell you how many times my phone rings and on the other line is a mother. And as I'm talking to the mother, I can only understand about every third word she's saying because she's a crying and a sobbing so much. And she wants to know one thing. Do you have a bed that my son could stay in or my daughter could stay in? And I can't say no. I can't say no. And so I say, yes, bring them on. Bring them on. Even if we don't have a bed, I say, yes, bring them on. You know, where do we put you if we don't have a bed? On the dining room floor. We put a mat on the dining room floor if we don't have a bed. And we say, bring them on. And so in my ministry, there's been two burning desires in my life there. And one is, in these past 51 years, is to develop a quality program, a quality Christian program I could be proud to invite my dad to come to and get help. And we've made a lot of mistakes at the rescue mission. And I said, Lord, what was I thinking about? Forgive me for that. Help me never do that again. But I think those mistakes have made us a better mission today than we've ever been. And I thank God for it. So step number one is to create a quality program that can really turn lives around. Mothers and dads, that's what we're there for. We're there to help your sons, your daughters, your cousins, your nephews, your uncles and aunts. We're there. But we can't help them, though, if you don't get them to us. You got to get them to us. Call us and get them to you. Come by and visit the mission first. Come by and visit and see what we're doing. Come by and volunteer at the mission and see what's making the wheels spin at the mission. And then be praying for your son and daughter to come to the rescue mission. So to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captive. I cannot tell you the number of times I heard my dad call me into his bedside and he said, son, I promise you, I'll never take another drink as long as I live. I've heard him say that. I mean, emphatic, he would say that. And Dad would be sober for a week or two or three or four at the most, and he'd be right back on it again there. But I believe when Dad said, son, I promise you, I'll never drink, I believe Dad meant it. He really meant it with every ounce of fiber that was in him. But he was addicted, and he was drawn right back to it again in that weak moment there. To preach deliverance to the captive and the recovering of the sight to the blind. Out there, the drug addict really believes that what he really needs is that next fix. I mean, they're blinded. I mean, they really believe that. If I can just get that next fix, everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. They're blinded. And the Bible says, for the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest they should come to the glorious gospel of the truth. They're blinded. Now, I've never healed any physically blind eyes, but I tell you what, the Lord's used us through us to see many spiritually blind eyes to be healed. And today they see spiritually there. And that's what God wants to use each one of us. And to heal those blinded eyes that are out there, to heal, to set it liberty, to recover the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. I personally saw how that addiction bruised my dad with cirrhosis of the liver. And sin will really sap the life out of anybody. But Jesus wants us to be set free from those wages of sin out there, which is death. And I believe the wages of sin is death, both physically and spiritually out there. But then, look in verse 19. I love verse 19. Those guys, when women and children, when they come into the rescue mission, they feel like their life is over with. They feel like that they are a discouragement to their parents, to their children. They feel like they've wasted their life. But I like verse 19, and it was a ministry of Jesus to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, all of us have done things in the past that we are ashamed of. We wish we had never done that. But I'm glad that when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we confess them to Him, He forgets them, He forgives them, and it becomes the acceptable year of the Lord. And today is the day of salvation. And if we would respond today, it's the day that we can be saved there. The acceptable year of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice something. I think that's very, very, very important. And it's what is not in Luke 4, verse 19. What is not in verse 19? Did you notice there it said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, period? He was quoting from Isaiah. He was quoting from Isaiah 61. There is no period in Isaiah 61. It's a comma. So when Jesus was preaching here, he said, now to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Today is the day you can be saved. But it's coming a day that it'll be too late to be saved. Look what it says. And he closed the book and gave it again unto the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day, this acceptable day, the day of the Lord, or you can be saved today. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. In other words, this part of this verse is fulfilled in your ears today when Jesus was preaching. But what did not he say? Go to Isaiah 61 now, if you would, and you'll see what he left out. He left out. He said, today is the acceptable year of the Lord. You can be saved today. But now Isaiah was prophesying the coming of the Lord. And in one verse, Isaiah prophesied both of the comings of the Lord in one verse. In one verse. When Jesus came, he quoted the first part, the first prophecy of him coming and being born and dying for our sins. But look what Isaiah says in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bound up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And that verse 2 is verse 18 in Luke. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You see the comma? There's no period. No period. Isaiah was prophesying both of the comings of the Lord. Both that he's already came, and is yet to come, could come at any day, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, comma, and the day of vengeance of our God. See, today, our loved ones can receive Christ. But if the Lord comes today, and I believe He could come, we that are born again will be caught up, and we'll be ever with the Lord in the air. That'd be a blessing to be with the Lord. But if you ever stop to think what will happen to our lost loved ones that are left behind, that's not saved, we that are Christians, we'll be caught up and we'll be with the Lord. But our lost loved ones will be ushered in what many believe to be the 7 years of awful tribulation. The 7 years of awful tribulation, where they say that they were actually running to the rocks and the mountains. Revelation tells us, during that time, they're running to the rocks and the mountains, and they would cry out just for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the face of the one that sits on the throne. That's what Revelation tells us about the 7 year tribulation. Who's going to be in that tribulation? I tell you what, it'll be our loved ones if the Lord comes back before they get saved. Before they get saved there, they're going to be in that awful year of tribulation. There, go to 2 Thessalonians now. And let's look at 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1. Look at verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory That's why I think my wife and I seem like we go day and night trying to share the gospel, help as many as we can, because we know, I really believe the days are short. The days are short. I believe the acceptable year of the Lord, the time to accept Christ, is running out, running shorter and shorter. And we that are fathers and mothers and uncles and aunts, we ought to be busy reaching out, winning our loved ones to the Lord, while it's still the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's pray. I wonder, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder how many would say, "Preacher, yes, I have a loved one that's not saved. I have a loved one, maybe is addicted out there, and they're struggling their addiction. And preacher, I want you to help me pray for my loved one. Is it an uncle? Is it an aunt? Is it a son? Is it a daughter? Is it a niece or a nephew?" Would you just raise that hand and say, "Preacher, pray." Would you? Raise it up. Raise it up. Others, raise it up and take it right back down. "Yes, preacher, I have a loved one that's addicted, and I'd like for you to pray for my loved one." Is there another? "Yes, I see that. I see that. I see that. I see that." And I know if I say, do we have loved ones in our family that's unsaved? I'm sure all of our hands will go up and how we ought to be praying for them. Father, we do thank you now for the church and just this opportunity and just what a blessing it's been. Thank you for the pastor and just the friendship over the past few months that we've been able to have. And Father, we pray now for these hands that was raised. And Lord, I thank you for the honesty. And Lord, a lot of times that's not easy to be honest with a question as tender and touchy as this one. But Lord, I thank you for their honesty. And Father, we pray, save that loved one now before it's everlasting too late. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let's all stand. Victory Choir, I want you to sing Rescue the Perishing. I don't even know what number that is in the hymn book. Rescue the Perishing. And 145 in your hymn book there. This song was written by Fanny Crosby. She was blind. Probably Fanny Crosby wrote more songs in your hymn book than anybody else. Anybody else. And she was blind. But one day, God used her. She went to the New York City Rescue Mission. And there at New York City, she would sing one of her songs that she wrote. But one night, a young man came forward to be saved. And Fanny Crosby was the one that worked with him and did an altar work at the altar. And Fanny Crosby went back home that night, could not get that scene off her mind. And you know what she done? She sat down and penned the words to Rescue the Perishing. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave, weep over the erry one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus. That's what God wants us to do for our loved ones. I tell you, if you want to know what to do with your loved ones, of course you read the Bible, and that's the main textbook. But you read Fanny, you read Rescue the Perishing through here. How do you want to relate to that loved one that's lost out there? Fanny Crosby gives us a good outline of how to do that. And what I want to do as we sing this song tonight, those of you that have loved ones that are addicted out there, that's struggling, and they haven't come to the Lord yet, let's come to this altar. Let's fill up this altar tonight, today. And let's pray. I believe God answers prayer. I believe He does. So as we sing this song, let's come to the altar and let's pray. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Would you come? Look at that second stanza. Isn't this what, if you've got a loved one that's addicted, isn't this what they're doing to you? They're giving you the stiff arm. They're rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ at this moment. Look, though they are slighting him, still he is waiting a penitent child to receive. And then here's what we do now. Plead with them earnestly. Plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Though they are slighting him. Would you come? And so often those that are out in sin and addiction, they feel like there's no hope for them. And the next verse speaks to that also. It says, down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter. They've lost all hope. They're crushed. Crushed by the tempter. Feelings like burden that grace can restore. And here's how it's done. It's touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness. Cords that are broken will vibrate once more. Crushed by the let's pray. Father, thank you now, Lord, for the burdened hearts that are before us today. Thank you, Lord, for the hearts that are on the altar today praying for their loved ones. And Lord, you have promised, in your word that whatsoever we shall ask in your name, that you will do. Lord, how do we know it's your will to save my loved one? Lord, you have said, it is not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, Lord, as your children are praying at the altar, Lord, as they're praying, Lord, we pray, honor their prayer request. Save that loved one. Lord, you've already died for them. You've given your life that they might have life. And Father, we pray now, help them to call upon the name of the Lord, for they shall be saved. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, blessed be the name of the Lord. God is an awesome God. I'm so grateful for all of you who came and ministered to us today. You've touched us, and we're grateful for that. Thank you, Dr. Mills, for what you do and the calling upon your life. You inspire us to be a better church and to do what we're really called to do, and we're grateful for that. Let's, while we're standing, that gives us a chance to dig a little bit into our pockets. So we want to bless this ministry as much as we possibly can. So if our ushers will come forward. And we want to do something today that will affect the future of a lot of people. So I'm going to ask Brother Aaron if you would pray.
Mm-hmm.